Welcome back to another episode of Silk Flowers
and Paper Mache Hearts. We are your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. So this week we're going to be doing something a little bit different than what we usually do, and we're actually going to talk about a specific product that Eric and I have used maybe once or twice and decided to do a little bit more research on, and that is Flex Foment from Smooth On.
Yeah, and it's actually a series of different types of expanding foam. It comes in different volumes and different strengths. So this is the flexible foam. So you mix the two parts together, it expands inside your mold, and you end up with this flexible material, as opposed to the rigid expanding foam, like your great stuff.
And what I have used Flex Foment for in the past is kind of filling body parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to save on material and to make a product lighter. For example, when I have made hands before.
Oh, so making fake body parts.
Filling. Yeah, fake let me rephrase.
Good.
Body parts. Oh, the jobs we do. So what I would do is I would put kind of a slip cast of dragon skin in the hand mold that I had created. And for those of you who don't know, dragon skin is a silicone also made by Smooth On. It's also a two-part liquid that you mix together. It's really, really great product. It's very strong. It's can be painted with silicone pigment.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it mostly for body parts.
It could be tinted as well. And the colors, yes, they have are like flesh tone, blood tone. They know that it's being used for body parts, and so it takes a lot of guesswork out, because it really does look just like skin and feels just like skin and moves so just like skin once it's fully cured.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the thing is, it does get expensive, and if you fill your hand mold fully with dragon skin, it can be a little heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of nice to get Flex Foment and fill it with the foam, mm-hmm, so you save on material because it's expanding so much, and it's also keeping it light, so it's not this huge, clunkety hand that if they were to drop it, it's just going to bounce or, you know, mm-hmm, something silly like that. So you can also make bricks or large rocks or something out of this foam for when you have an actor hitting another actor with a brick.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to use a real brick. Kind of bad for
them. Yeah.
So I've heard.
Yeah, I think this is like the one of the main reasons people use it, and kind of the most obvious reason to use it. And if you ever see Smooth On at USITT or they come to visit you, they're always showing off. They got like a cinder block made out of flexible, mm-hmm, foam, usually like a baseball bat or something like that. And you see it a lot in film because they'll, you know, they'll have the hero weapon or something, which they mold and cast and give a really, mm-hmm, nice painted version. And then using the same molds, they'll make, you know, cheapo plastic ones for all the background actors. But then they'll use, mm-hmm, this flexible foam for any time there's a stunts being performed with this. Because even if you're not hitting somebody, if you have like, you know, the policeman has a truncheon on their belt and they have to do a somersault, you don't want them to have a solid wood truncheon that's going to like fly up and smack them in the head. It's something that could like bend underneath them and sort of flex with their movements. And hopefully they don't film it flexing. I have seen there's some films where you could kind of catch like in the background, like, hey, his Uzi is bending.
Wait a minute.
Always funny to try to find.
This is all fake.
Yeah. That guy's not really a criminal. He's an actor.
What is this? No, with most Smooth On products, it is a two-part mixture, your part A and your part B. And since there is a variety of versions of the Flex Foment, some are measured by weight and some are measured by volume. Always, 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 always check to see which it is, because there have been multiple times where I've been in a hurry and I'm like, oh, it's by volume. I just look at it there. It's a match. Perfect. And then, uh-huh, it doesn't cure. And you're like, what did I do wrong? Well, you measured it wrong.
Uh-huh.
So always, always double check. So before we kind of break down a few of these Flex Foments and talk more about them, there's a few common rules for all of them. Firstly, you always want to use a release agent when you're pouring your mold, because they are very sticky and they will stick to things. But I actually just learned that you cannot use the universal mold release that Smooth-On provides, because mm-hmm. that's actually just for silicone. Mm. It's a silicone-based release agent.
Right.
So Smooth-On recommends you use Ease Release 2831, and it actually says to let it dry for 30 minutes before pouring your mold, which was new information to me as well, because I actually have never waited. I just let it sit for a second, and I'm like, all right, let's pour the mold. Mm-hmm. So, fun fact. But they also say that you can spray the universal mold release on your mold mm-hmm. as long as you put another layer of Ease Release 2831 on top of it.
Okay.
So you have to have that Ease Release 2831. And the reason for that is if you only use the universal mold release, then your mold will actually deflate. Mm-hmm. There is a chemical in that universal mold release that does not react well with your flex foment. Mm-hmm. And so you're never going to get a correct pull mm-hmm. from it.
Right. And I've also heard that any of the silicone based releases, if you want to paint your casting afterwards, you should avoid them because the mold release stays on the cast object. And since it's silicone, nothing sticks to it. So the paint's not going to stick to it. And it's hard to wash off. So you need some kind of mold release that is able to be washed off or will not keep the paint from sticking.
Yeah. And I always, anytime I'm about to paint a positive or anything, I always wash it mm-hmm. because there's always some residue of something on there. Right. So it's always kind of just a good rule to wash it. But with these foams, with it being porous, it's kind of hard to wash. You know?
Right. Now, do you use a mold release if you're using a silicone mold?
I have not in uh-huh. the past.
Okay.
And I feel that I did that on accident once mm-hmm. and it was okay because, you know, the idea is silicone sticks to silicone and that's it. So this foam is not a silicone, so it's not going to mm-hmm. stick to the silicone. Mm-hmm. But there are other like urethane molds that you make
yeah,
that the foam will stick
definitely,
to.
Definitely, yeah. Plaster, so gotta, it's gonna
exactly. So you want to make sure on that front
because this material it's polyurethane, and so it's actually mm-hmm. the same material as Gorilla Glue, which also foams. So if you think like Gorilla Glue sticks to everything, well, your flex foam is gonna stick to everything too. That doesn't have any mold release on. It is an adhesive.
Yes, and I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I did that once before I really knew what mold making was. I was just getting into it. I was at a summer stock and we were just playing around with making molds because the shop that we were in was a school shop during the school year. Mm-hmm. So they had all these materials we could use and we were like, let's play with some of this stuff. And we found some flex foment and I had a plaster mold and I was like, yeah, let's just put this in it. Yeah, it didn't come out. Mm-hmm. Didn't come out at all. And that was a very sad day.
I know.
I learned.
That's always a challenge. Like when I'm teaching, it's like, do I give them all the information so they avoid all of this? Or do I let them, waste some expensive materials and have a learning process?
Sometimes it depends on the person. Sometimes it's better.
Even if you know what you're doing, you're still going to eventually have some kind of problem. So there's no reason to like force them to learn that mistake. It's going to come up at some point.
Exactly.
There's only so much
information they can take.
Yeah.
Now, also when you're using these, and this is kind of a rule for pretty much all Smooth-On products, make sure you're in a very well ventilated area mm-hmm. because they do release toxic gases when they're curing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't smell these gases, so you think, oh, it's fine, but it is actually very hazardous to your health.
Yeah.
So if you have a respirator, I mean, wear a respirator if mm-hmm. you're not in a well-ventilated area. Mm-hmm. I would be careful doing this outside because some of these are affected by cold weather and mm-hmm. humidity.
Yeah.
So you always want to just check the instructions to see if there is a specific temperature that it cannot be in because mm-hmm. it will affect how it comes out.
Right. I know a lot of places that do a lot of this, they'll have a separate, like, sometimes a chemical hood or or just like a spray booth where you can basically lock it up so it's not sharing the same air supply that everybody else is breathing. Because it's, you know, it's as soon as you start mixing them, they're going to be releasing fumes, and they are fumes that you don't smell, so you don't know. But as through their whole curing process as well, they're going to continue. So if you have something that takes like an hour to cure, you don't want that to be sitting on your table and breathing it for that whole hour. You want it separated off from you, like off in another room, in front of a window, something somewhere so that you're not breathing it. And then also, this isn't really true of the flex foam because you don't really sand it. But when you sand it, you could be releasing some of those gases again because they're kind of trapped on the inside. So it's not just the particulates, but it's these gases are being re-released into the air. So sanding it, anything.
Yeah, and it's tricky because you don't really smell it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you're definitely like, ooh, there's a smell.
Yeah.
But other times, you know, you don't think about it. You're working. You're like, well, it doesn't smell. Clearly it's fine. But sometimes those can be the ones that are the worst.
Yeah, and all those training videos they have, they're never wearing respirators. They're always showing how fun and easy it is for the hobbyist, but they're in their, you know, industrially ventilated workshop with, you know, 30-foot ceilings and air carriers that are moving the air at the rate they need it to. And if you're in your prop shop, that's not having the same amount of ventilation.
Now, another great thing about the Flex Foamit series is that it is an expanding foam, as we said before, and there is a variety of expanding ratios, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they come in different densities, and that's determined by how much they expand after you mix them together.
Exactly. And there's a technique that a lot of people use when using these expanding foams called back pressure. And what it is you get a board of sorts, drill some small holes into it, and when you pour your foam into your mold, you take that board and you just put it against the opening of the mold where you pour it into. And the idea is that when the foam expands, it's going to want to come out of the opening that you poured in. So that board that you have, it's going to press against it, not really have a full way to escape. And so it's going to push back into the mold, making sure it's getting into all the little crevices of your mold that you have. But you also want to make sure you have small holes in your board that you're doing the back pressure with.
Yeah.
So it can have some place to release. Because if it doesn't have a place to release, it can kind of push your whole board off completely and kind of defeat the purpose. But it can also cure very oddly and not to its full expansion.
Yeah. If it's like a two-part mold, then it could like separate the two halves of the mold if they're not like clamped really well. Especially if they're like, you use rubber bands to hold them together. It's going to stretch. It's going to push, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, the expansion is great because you don't have to use as much to fill the mold. So, you know, like when you're casting something out of dragon skin, you have to mix up the same amount of dragon skin that will fill that mold cavity. Whereas if you have a flex foam that has a 7-to-1 expanding ratio, you only have to fill the mold a seventh of the way, you know, usually a little more, but you just mix up a little bit and you pour it in and it'll grow to fill the entire cavity. So it's very economical that way because, you know, when you're thinking about how much you need to buy, the flex foam you buy is going to fill more molds than the, you know, plastic resin that you buy.
And another great thing about this is that you can color it or you can tint it with using So Strong, which is for urethane rubbers, resins, and foam. You don't want to use Silk Pig, which is for silicones, because it will not mix properly. It will not cure properly. It just, it won't stick really. So for the So Strong, you can just take a little dab of it and mix it into your part A. Make sure it's mixed up thoroughly and it's the color you want. Make sure you do that only in part A. Don't put it in part A and part B. Don't mix part A and part B and then add in the color because you only have so much time to really mix the two. And you want to make sure the color is correct. You don't want to mix them together, put in the color and realize, oh, this is wrong. I got to add this and I got to add that, you know. So always just do it into one of the parts. So after you have it mixed thoroughly in part A, then you can add part B, start mixing, and then pour. Now there's also another way you can kind of color your foam, and that's using Cast Magic, and it's pretty an amazing product, in my opinion. It's a powder that you actually brush on to your mold. You don't put it on the actual foam after you've pulled it out of your mold. You put it in the mold, you brush it on. It comes in various colors. It also comes in metallics that are beautiful when they come out. And you put that on there, you pour your foam in, and the foam will cure. It takes usually 2 hours for the flex foam to fully cure. I usually like to wait just a little bit longer just in case it's still tacky, because mm-hmm. you don't want to be handling it when it's tacky because it can deform. But after you pull it, the Cast Magic powder has adhered to the foam, and it looks like you've spent hours painting it. And the metallics, I mean, the metallics are just amazing. They look great.
And they're actually made from metal. They're like metal powder. Yeah. So you can do some polishing of your piece after the fact mm-hmm. as well. So you could have areas that are like polished and the crevices might not be polished and actually have mm-hmm. that shine catching the light as you like twist and turn it in the stage lights, so it gets that real good-looking metallic thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, speaking of things that aren't compatible, basically any water-based paint or colorant mm-hmm. you can't really mix in because water inhibits urethanes. That's the same reason why you can't do it on an especially humid day.
Yeah.
So you can't just like take a tube of acrylic paint and squirt it in there. I know there's some like... There's some dyes and definitely the powdered colors you can kind of experiment with, but mm-hmm. you know, they make their specialty colors, which you can't go wrong with.
Yeah. It's just so much easier and safer, I guess, mm-hmm. to just go ahead and use that product.
Yeah. They're very concentrated too. So it's only a few drops to kind of get a very opaque, saturated color.
Yeah. Very, very small amount. I know in the past when I was first using the colors for silicone, the Silk Pig, I, you know, put a lot in there and realized, oh, I just needed a dot mm-hmm. of this. You know, it goes a long way. So when you get that package and there's all these small containers, you're like, well, that was a lot of money for nothing. Mm-hmm. No, that's actually a lot for very little money.
Right, yeah. And then going back to your method for making body parts at the beginning of the episode, you can do the same mm-hmm. thing with your colorized resin, where you tint some resin and then just do like a skim coat of, you know, on the outside of your mold, and mm-hmm. then backfill it with untinted resin, because you really just need the surface to be colored. And once, you know,
exactly
only like an eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch or whatever it is, you can't see past that. So
there are so many tricks that everyone does to kind of save on material, because these products are expensive, and we're mm-hmm. fully aware of that. They're expensive. It is time consuming. Sometimes you don't have the time to do it. But there are always little corners that you can cut to get the same product without using all of the material and all of the money. So those are kind of some general rules, I guess you could say, about the Flex Foment series. So now we're going to kind of break it down and talk about a few of them, not all of them, because there are quite a bit, and just talk about the similarities and the differences between them and which ones we have used in the past and what we liked and didn't like about them.
Cool. First up is the Flex Foam IT 3. Flex Foam IT. First up is the Flex Foam IT 3. This is the lowest density foam, but it expands mm-hmm. the most. So this is when you need something super lightweight. And I think this one, it has a fairly porous look to it. Some of mm-hmm. these foams, when you pour them, they develop sort of a skin. So they look like a solid object, whereas others, the less dense, they'll look like a piece of foamy material when it's finished.
Yeah, it's more porous.
So yeah, this is a 1-to-2 ratio on mixture by volume. And that's important because
one, you don't need a scale, which is my favorite thing. There's mm-hmm. no math involved. mm-hmm. But two, it's very important, like I said earlier, to know if it's by volume or by weight, because if you do mix this by weight, it's not going to cure properly, and it'll come out deformed or it won't expand all the way. I've had that be a problem before, where I accidentally mixed it by weight when it was by volume, or vice versa. So sometimes it won't expand as much as it should. For example, the Flex Foment 3 expands 15 times its original amount when mixed. So if you mix it incorrectly, you just lost all of that material that you could have used mm-hmm. because it didn't expand fully. It only expanded maybe twice its size.
Right.
The measuring really is needs to be as perfect as you can get it with these materials, because it really does affect it. And you only have a pot life of about 35 seconds, but it says you have 25 minutes of handling time. I've noticed that, yes, technically 25 minutes of handling time, but it starts to expand within those, you know, after those 35 seconds, it starts to go, and you don't want to be mixing it or touching it. You want to get it mixed real quick.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true of all of these. I mean, they start going off really fast. Like, you got to stir your little heart out and start pouring it as soon as you're able to, because it's less than a minute. It's going to start like just poofing up and going crazy and getting out of control. Yeah.
And then you don't have it in your mold and you're like, well, that was a waste of material again. Yeah. But when you pull your positive out of your mold, you want to kind of just touch it a little bit. You know, it takes 2 hours to cure, but sometimes, like I said earlier, due to humidity, it might take longer, or the cold, or, you know, whatever. So kind of touch it a little bit. If it's still tacky, don't take it out, because that means it's not fully cured. And if you take it out before it's fully cured, it could deflate. It could deform by touching it. You know, you're not going to get the best pull that you can get. And I know I am the worst at this, because I get so impatient with my molds. I get so excited that I'm like, oh, I want to look, I want to look, I want to look. And then I'll peek and it's all ruined, because I just ruined it by opening it up, and now it's deformed and now it's not going to cure, blah, 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 blah. So try to be patient, guys. Do what I don't do. It's like Christmas morning for me. I'm like, oh, let's open the presents right now. You got 5 hours to go. But Flex Filament 3 is the one that I've used the most, just because it expands the most, so I can save on material. It is tricky, though, when you're trying to figure out how much do you actually need to pour. And there have been times where I mixed too little, and so my mold didn't fully fill, wasn't fully filled.
Yeah.
And so what I did, I just poured some more and put it on top, because it will adhere to one another.
And it's not terribly noticeable where the two different areas meet. I know some things, when you pour it on top of something that's already cured, there's a line or something weird going on.
And that's kind of comes down to, well, do you have the time to completely make a new pour? Is it going to be covered up by something else? You know, kind of different factors of, does this matter? But in a sense, does it matter if there's a line there or not?
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And I've noticed if you wait longer to add that second pour in, it's not as good. You know, the line I feel like is harder.
Right.
There's like stuff has settled on that top layer. You know, there's dust there. You know, there's stuff. It's not an immediate adhesion.
And if it's still kind of curing, then it might like grab onto the other stuff and kind of form an actual bond with it.
This Flex Foment 3 is pretty great, because, like I said, it expands 15 times its size. It's the lowest density foam in the series. So another one in the series is called Flex Foment 4 Tough Stuff. Now, this one I've never actually used. This is something new that I'm seeing, but supposedly it's a lot stronger than the rest of the foams. So it's harder to tear, but it is still low in density. And this one actually expands 13 times its original volume, which is the second highest expanding foam in the series. And very similar to Flex Foment 3, it has a very short pot life, with only being 30 seconds, which is 5 seconds shorter than the other one.
Yeah, it seems great, because, you know, usually if you need something stronger and stiffer and less likely to tear, you need to go to the more dense ones, which means that you need more material. But this one kind of has the best of both worlds, where it gets really lightweight and expands a lot, but it retains that stiffness and hardness. So yeah, that seems like one I would like to try as well. The picture on their webpage is some weird Easter Island sculpture with a lot of like bumpy texture. So I don't know. You can't actually tell how smooth of a skin it forms from that picture, which is what I would be interested in.
Well, and I can't tell if that is how it was, like the mold has that.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Or not. It kind of looks maybe a bit of a mixture of the two, honestly.
The great thing with the more dense ones is that skin makes it look like a solid object. I mean, it makes it look indistinguishable from the original, even though it's flexible.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And this one is measured by weight. So you do have to have a scale and make sure that you are measuring it in that fashion.
Right.
And this is an 80 to 100 mix ratio by weight. So there is a little bit of math involved with this one because it is 80 by 100. It's not a perfect 1 by 1 or 1 by 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so always making sure that you're staying with that ratio is very important, because sometimes you'll think, oh, it's by weight, it's still the same amount. You know, it's, this is 6 grams and this is 6 grams. You know, that's it. No, sometimes they're weird like this.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So at the other end of the spectrum is the Flex Foamit 25, which is the most dense and the least expanding. So it's a 1 to 2. So this is one I used, and I used it recently. So we were doing, and then there were none, and there's these 10 statues. And for our production, they were all identical, and they needed them to, you know, they disappear throughout the show. And so they made these little trap doors underneath them, and they dropped down in. And so the director was like, can we make that as quiet as possible? And I was like, well, what if we actually cast them out of foam? You know, I haven't used it. I think this is a great opportunity, because we had already made a mold for the soldiers, because there were 10 identical. So I bought one. Made a mold, mm-hmm. and we were reproducing them. And some of them need to be breakable. So we were already casting a bunch in breakable materials so that they could be breakaways. So it's like, I already had the mold and we're going to pour some foam into it. So it was great because, again, it looked indistinguishable from the terracotta original. Like, it captured all that detail. It wasn't porous at all. And it was like just flexible enough. You know, it's not like you pick it up and you squeeze it and you know it's fake. You know, you have to put a little bit of pressure on it to actually bend it and everything. But the, you know, when that little trap door opened, they fell down in and they didn't make any noise because they were a soft rubber that just kind of bounced off of anything that they touched. And so they disappeared like whisper quiet.
That's awesome.
And it was really great. Yeah.
Everybody's like, that's magic.
Yeah. And since I already had the product, we used it for another thing. There's a knife in the back trick, you know, and we do the thing where you have half a knife on a magnet sticking out of the actor's back. Mm-hmm. And every time I've done that in the past, there's the weight of the knife is so great that it kind of, if they jiggle around, it kind of has this lever action that breaks it free from the magnet. So my idea this time was to cast the handle out of this foam. So it looked like a knife handle, but it was so much lighter. And so that, you know, it worked really well for that. It's great, you know, having lightweight versions of props, even with just the 2-to-1 expansion, it was so much lighter than a regular knife.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I love that this one, like you said, you can squeeze it and bend it, but it takes force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the Flex Foamit 3, you can squeeze and it's pretty easy to squeeze, really.
Yeah. Like, you pick it up and it looks like a pillow almost.
Yeah. Like, and so it's kind of nice to have more of a firm foam, because you never know what the actors are going to do on stage holding things.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might accidentally go squeeze it and like, oh, crap.
You don't want the actor like fidgeting with it and bending their head back and forth. It's like, so it's like a bobblehead.
Like, stress ball.
Yeah. Stress ball, terracotta, soldiers.
You're like, don't mind me.
Yeah. I've seen, there's a couple theaters I've been to where they use this even for props that aren't being touched by the actors, but they'll like, cast a engraved detail and then put it on a curved surface. So there, you know, since it's flexible, it just it could take that curve. They don't have to sculpt a curved thing. They don't need a curved mold or anything really crazy. It's just like, it starts out straight and they just like bend it into shape. And so it's like, it looks solid from the audience and nobody ever touches it, but it's made out of this flex foam.
Now, another product here that I found while doing some research the other day when we decided to do this episode is Flex Foamit 23FR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very intrigued by this one.
Right.
And I want to get it
mm-hmm.
because supposedly it is flame retardant. And if you go onto the Smooth On website, they have all of these products with all of the information and the tech brief on here, as well as some videos that I would strongly encourage watching. You get some very useful information on. And they have pictures of this Flex Foam at 323 FR, and it literally has one of them in flames, just completely on fire, and it just
distinguishes itself by being extinguishable.
Flames go away, and the foam doesn't look like it was really damaged that much. It mm-hmm. definitely has a different color to it because, well, there was fire on it.
Right.
That's what fire does. But it isn't completely deformed or melted away like another foam would have done. And I would actually be very interested to see how it's affected by the So Strong pigments or the Cast Magic powder, if that actually affects the FR rating or not. That would actually be something to call and ask about. This one does require a scale, so you have been warned on that. Mm-hmm. I'm the worst at that. I always get excited. But this one has about 90 seconds of a pot life, but it only expands twice its size. So it's very similar to the 25 that we were just talking
right.
about.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't expand a lot, but it seems like it has a lot of value to it, especially with it being flame retarded pretty much.
Yeah, I know a lot. You know, if you're doing your little hand props, you probably don't have to worry about. But as you start getting into like bigger pieces, if mm-hmm. there's any sort of live flame on stage or anything like that, then you have to start thinking about, you know, flame retardant. And, you know, if you've ever bought a couch that has polyurethane flexible foam cushions, and you know that those are very difficult to flame proof. You know, they used to do it like yeah. crazy, and the chemicals were killing people, so they stopped doing it. So now, you know, mm-hmm. couches are kind of, they get flame retardant fabric, but the cushions themselves are not flame retardant because
exactly.
those chemicals kind of get rid of like the flexibility of the polyurethane.
Yeah, I would be very, very intrigued to try that out.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody listening has tried any of these products before and wants to, you know, share your thoughts, what you liked and what you didn't like, please, you know, feel free to email us or send us a tweet. We'd love to hear more about it. And I also want to correct myself from earlier of what I was saying about Flex Foam at 3. I was saying that was very squishy. Incorrect. I was confusing it with Flex Foam at 10, which is a 1-to-1 by volume ratio, so there's no scale needed. And it's used, this one is the one mainly used for making bricks or fake food and stuff for theater. And that is the one that is a little bit more squishy
mm-hmm.
than the other ones. So I misspoke earlier. That's the only bad thing. There's a lot of different Flex Foamets.
Right.
And they all different things, but they're all, you know, they all have their specific use,
mm-hmm.
specific purpose.
So cool. That's kind of a brief overview of the Flex Foamit series. There's tons of information out there in tutorial videos. And if you have mm-hmm. anything that you've made out of Flex Foam and you want to share pictures with us, we'll be happy to put them up on the blog. Our viewer
yeah.
favorites, you know, people getting crushed by bats, that sort of thing. So we hope this information was useful and informative.
Yeah, and we're probably going to do some more episodes like this in the future. So if there's a specific product or products that you would like us to talk about, maybe we've used before, or we can do some research on and discuss, we'd be happy to do that for you guys.
But that's all the time we have today, so thanks for listening in.
And make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache and email us questions, like we said earlier, or ideas of future episodes you'd like to hear at propspodcast@gmail.com.
Subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a rating or a review while you're there.
And this has been another episode of Silk Flowers
and Paper Mache Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.